We all want good leadership in our lives, don't we? And we all complain and grumble if there's poor leadership. You don't have to watch your TV for too long to see examples of potential poor leadership at home or abroad. But even in the classrooms we learn in the companies that we work in the clubs that we play for, in the clans that we come from, in the countries that we live in the churches we belong to, we long for good leadership, and we need good leadership, don't we? And the results of poor leadership are evident in all of these places, in the classrooms, the companies, the clubs, the clans, the countries, and the churches. And this is a principle right throughout Scripture, that leadership is so crucial that some have even said that everything rises and falls on the leadership. And while obviously God in his providence and in his power can work even through weak and feeble and poor leaders, and often he does, the role of a leader is so crucial throughout judges, throughout kings, and the rulers in the church in the New Testament as well. And it's the same in Ezekiel's day. We come to them, and here, still in chapter 34, they are a people in exile. They've been taken out of Jerusalem like refugees, out of their land, out of their where their temple is, and they are totally abandoned in a culture not of their own and a people not of their own, and they feel totally rejected by God. But we know that they have rejected God themselves. And you ask, well, how do they get into such a desperate situation if this is your first time listening to this series? Well, we've seen that they forgot about God and they went off and they worshipped their own idols and they said, no, God, we're going to live life our way. And God brought judgment on them through the Babylonians. They forgot God's word and they thought that they could do things better themselves. But this evening, for the first time in Ezekiel, really, there is great hope. There is wonderful hope because a new day is coming for Israel. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And after winter, summer is going to come. And as the clocks change this evening, what a good day to have hope. As we celebrate the Lord's table just a little later, what a great day to have hope. But we're going to see and examine just for a few moments this evening the effect of poor leadership on the Israelites. But we're also going to see how it is rectified and how the people are going to be brought back with a good shepherd and with a perfect shepherd. So my first point this evening, if you want to jot down the headings, I believe, is poor leaders lead to poor sheep, or poor leaders lead to dead sheep in verses 1 to 10. Read this again with me. And in the first four verses here, you're going to see a Facebook profile of the poor shepherds. The word of the Lord came to me, verse 1. Verse 2, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Can you see the profile of the shepherds here? Here's what they do. They only take care of themselves. They're only interested in themselves. They're so selfish. They eat the curds. They clothe themselves with wool and they slaughter the animals. Basically, they totally exploit the sheep in their care. Some of them said that as you add all this up, it indicates that the faithless shepherds were continually doing these acts. And the emphasis was that the shepherds had but one objective in mind, namely their own enjoyment and pleasure. If you want to be a leader, if you want to be a shepherd, it's never going to be about you and your enjoyment. Some of you have said that salvation is free, discipleship costs. Leadership is more costly. How true that is. But the leaders here of Israel did not take that. They exploited the sheep from themselves. Say, well, that's what they do, but what do they not do? Well, we read that there as well at the second part of verse 3. They have not strengthened the quick, they have not healed the sick, they have not bound up the injured, they have not brought back the strays, and fifthly, they have not searched for the lost. Basically, the heart was not in it. They were leaders in title only. But we know that there's no titles in the kingdom of God when it comes to leadership. It is your actions. The shepherd should hold office for the sake of those that they rule. But these leaders were unfaithful and they were unconcerned with the sheep. And God says, woe to you. You say, well, Keith, what's the result of poor shepherd? Surely the sheep can look after themselves. They're all grown adults. Surely they can look after themselves and keep themselves on track. We'll keep reading the first five. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They were scattered and they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched for them or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and has so been plundered and will become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Here we see the sheep are scattered because there's no shepherd, nobody to keep them in line, nobody to keep them on course. They wander off all on their own directions, and nobody goes off and searches for them, and they have been plundered. Wild animals come and attack them. Poor leaders lead to dead sheep. And for Israel, as Ezekiel writes this, he writes to the civil and the religious leaders of the time who looked after themselves, their status, their role, and their reputation, and they didn't care for their people. You say, Keith, how did they not care? Well, they allowed their people to drift off and do whatever they want, regardless of what God's word said to them. They didn't bring God's word to them and call them to obedience of it. They didn't cause the sheep to feed on God's word. And the sheep wandered off because, well, if you know yourself like I know myself, we're prone to wander, aren't we? Is this a hymn? Rather, I said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the Lord I love. And Jesus, in his day, spoke out about the poor leadership in his generation, lording it over them, being hypocrites, being like whitewashed tombs. However, for the sheep in these verses there is great hope. I hope you picked it up there in verse 6 and verse 8. Whereas God is pronouncing judgment on the shepherds, he says, my sheep. Verse 6, my flock. And verse 8, my flock again. And verse 8, can I encourage you, Christian, here tonight, that you're a sheep in the flock of God. And that despite what poor leadership you have suffered in the past, that you're part of God's flock and you're one of his sheep. These people are God's. As one writer has said, they don't belong to the leaders. In the same way today that the church belongs to God, it's not my church, it's not Johnny's church, it's God's church, and he is building it. Beware of leaders who claim for themselves what is God alone. So for Israel, it was a woe to the leaders of their generation. As we think about today in our culture and in our church as well, in our classrooms, in our companies, in our clubs, in our clans, in our countries, and in our churches, why don't we need good leaders? Why don't we need godly leaders? Why don't we suffer as a result of poor leadership? Are the millions in the world suffering at the hands of poor leadership, where the leaders get greedy and the people get poorer and poorer? I'm sure you can think of examples in your workplace or in your families or in social clubs or in sports clubs that you have played for. How important it is for us to pray for those in authority over us, for them to rule over us with justice. As we think about the Christian church as well, unhealthy pastors, unhealthy elders lead to unhealthy churches. Dead pastors, as one pastor has said, lead to dead churches. Oh, we need to pray for our own leaders here at our church, and for those across this country and across the world who are leading God's people. Because poor shepherds lead the poor sheep. To tell the evangelists who plead for financial wealth and the promise of blessing, those are poor shepherds, and they will lead the poor sheep in lots of ways if they do give them their money. But we need a generation of leaders to arise, godly leaders. Now, leadership is not just based on the crowds that you can attract, but on the health of the sheep. Maybe you're here in leadership this evening, over some of the children's work, over some of the youth work, over some of the organizations in the church, over our home group. We need leaders, and we need a church full of leaders. We don't need facilitators. We don't need people who will not take the responsibility to lead. Say, Keith, does it really matter? Well, it mattered to Peter whenever he wrote in his letter. He said, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Leadership is a call to serve, because there's people in our care. James 3, verse 1 also says that not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that you who teach will be judged more strictly. See, leadership in God's kingdom is a privileged position, but it's also a position of responsibility, not to be taken lightly. So we call you as a church to pray for your leaders here of Hamilton Road Baptist Church, because we need it, because you need godly leaders as well. But we do need leaders right throughout our church who will lead us forward, who will lead us outwards, who will lead us to the ends of the earth. I wonder tonight, is God calling you to step up and to step out as a leader? You say, how will God deal with the poor shepherds who lead to the poor sheep? Well, in Ezekiel's day, in verse 9 of the chapter, it goes on and says, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against your shepherds. I will hold them accountable. I will remove them from teaching the flock so the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and there will be no longer food for them. God will indeed judge leaders who are unfaithful in Ezekiel's day and in our day as well. You say, well, Keith, I thought this evening was going to be about great hope and great future and your hard hearts being renewed with a heart of flesh. Well, as we go on, we're going to see that while poor shepherds lead to poor sheep, we're going to see that good shepherds lead to good sheep, or good shepherds lead to healthy sheep, and here in verse 10. There's an old saying that happens, and it said, after I try to clean the house, if you want something done right, do it yourself. I'm sure you've never heard somebody say that to you. But here we see that the poor leaders of Israel have led to poor results for the nation of Israel, where in their worst day they've been taken into exile in Babylon. But here God comes in loving mercy, keeping his covenant promises, and he comes to the desperate situation of Israel, and here is your great hope, not in a new political regime, not in a new political party, but in God himself being their shepherd. God is going to roll up his sleeves and do the work of the unfaithful shepherds, do the work that they would not do. And this is the first of the many new things that happen in Ezekiel, and we are going to be given a new heart, and there's going to be a new vision, and the dry bones are going to become like flesh. But interesting, one of the first things God does is to restore the leadership, or to rectify the leadership. So what is God going to do? Well, in these next seven verses, I want you just to listen and to see how many times you hear the words, I will. Because here you're going to see what God's going to do. This is what the sovereign Lord says in verse 10. I'm against the shepherds. I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from the tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. It will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flocks when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all settlements of the land. I will tend them in the good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there will feed in the rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and will have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Who's going to do it? God is. 15 times in these 7 verses, I will. And in verse 11 and verse 15, even more emphatic, it says, I myself will. We are to be in no doubt as to who is going to do it. As one commentator said, it is the owner, it is the lover, it is the maker, it is the great shepherd, even I will. You see, to be a good shepherd, you need to smell like your sheep. And here God is rolling up his sleeves and doing the work of the shepherd. He's going to get involved in the nation of Israel once again after allowing a period of discipline and of judgment on them. I see it's Spurgeon says, when a man says, I will, it is often bragging imprudence. But when God says, I will and you shall, such words are expressive alike of sovereign determination and irresistible power. The nation of Israel in exile, who have rebelled against God, who deserve nothing from God, are going to see his power in action. And God is going to gather the sheep in. God is going to protect them, and God is going to feed them, and God is going to rule over them. This is a great hope that God will. Wonder tonight, do you feel abandoned? Do you feel isolated, bruised, broken, vulnerable, lost? God will be your shepherd. Just call out to him, reach out to him. In the Bible, there are 3,573 promises, examples of how God will look after his people and do something for his people, and all of God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Christian, tonight we need to claim some of these promises of God. We need to see the long game. We need to have long-term vision to see these promises come true now and in eternity. So what is God doing, going to do for his sheep? You said, Keith, all you've done is read that, but can you summarize it? Well, God is going to search and rescue his sheep. God is going to bring them back to their own land. God is going to give them pasture to grow. I believe this is God is going to rescue his sheep. He's going to give them pasture to grow. He's going to help the weak and injured. He's going to let them lie down and rest. He's going to care for his sheep. So he's going to rescue them first of all. Then he's going to care for them. Then he'll lead with justice. And I believe he's going to rule his sheep. Here we see God's character coming out. God is our rescuer. God is the redeemer. God is the provider. God is Jehovah Jireh. God is the God of justice. I think of Psalm 75, verse 1 to 7, says, God is righteous and holy, fair and equitable in all things. In summary of these verses, again, Spurgeon has said, when the Lord reveals that he has loved you with an everlasting love, Is that not a good place to lie down in? When he tells you that having loved you, that having so loved you, he will never cast you away. Is not that a good place to lie down in? When he tells you that your warfare is accomplished, that your sin is pardoned, is that not a good place to lie down in? Here is what the Good Shepherd will do for Israel. Is that not a good place for us to lie down in tonight? To know the Shepherd who rescues, to know the Shepherd who cares for us, and to know the Shepherd who rules with justice over us. You see, the Good Shepherd will lead to good sheep because he will care for them. How does he care for them? Often through earthly and through human leaders as well. God's justice is seen in verses 17 to 20 there, that he will judge between sheep and another. He himself will once again be the judge. While Ezekiel and God are addressing the leaders here, it doesn't get the sheep off just so easily, because we can't just be victims and we can't just blame others, and the sheep can't blame the shepherds. The sheep are responsible for their own actions as well. Here God is condemning those who have plenty or who are greedy, who are ruining the water and the pasture for others, who are misusing their positions of strength and bullying others. But as we think about this good shepherd producing good sheep, as we hear all of these overtones of the shepherd, and as Johnny has already prayed, don't you automatically think of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that good news for the Christian tonight? That the good shepherd will produce good sheep. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know God as your shepherd. Can I encourage you to consider coming to him tonight? I wonder who is your shepherd for life, for death, for all eternity. Who or what are you following? Are you following your heart? Well, the heart, I don't believe, can be trusted. Are you following your friends? Are you following your career teacher? Are you following your culture? The temptation is to follow all of these things. To follow after health, to follow after that promotion and work, to follow after all that this world has to offer. But can I urge you to follow the good shepherd, the Lord God as your shepherd? See, this leads us to our third and our final point this evening, that just as poor shepherds lead to poor sheep and as good shepherds lead to good sheep, I believe that a perfect shepherd will lead to perfect sheep. Read on in verse 22. It says, I will save my flock. They will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place them over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And here is the unbelievable good news of hope for the nation of Israel. Not only would God be their shepherd, but one day would come and my servant David would be a prince, a shepherd among them. I believe this is talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ would come on earth as a good shepherd in John 10, who would lay down his life for his sheep. David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have other views on this passage, and you can read all about those online and in the commentaries. But I believe this is talking about the Lord as an idealized David. For David was the man whom God chose and in whom God delighted, the king who triumphed against all his foes, who extended his kingdom in all directions, the man of Judah, under whose genius a whole nation was ruled for a time united as one. He will be a prince, a righteous ruler of the saved community. I believe as we see Christ here, the one who laid down his life for the sheep and who now rules and reigns at the Father's right hand and is one day coming back again to rule and to reign forever. Here we see Christ, and John is described as the good shepherd or as a chief shepherd. I believe he's the perfect shepherd. I believe that this perfect shepherd will produce perfect sheep. You say, Keith, well, how does he do that? Well, he does it through the cross. As he goes there willingly for us, and as he lays down his life. Peter picks up on the result of the cross for the Christian, says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Paul writes to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. You see, we come to the cross dirty, filthy, sinful, unrighteous, lost, helpless, hopeless, imperfect. But we leave it cleansed and forgiven. And one day we will be perfect in the sight of God. When we see him, we will become like him. We will never reach perfection in this life, although we should be striving to be holy as God as holy. But as John says in 1 John 3, chapter 2, or verse 2, we shall be like him, for when we shall see him as he is. What a great hope for us tonight, as we still struggle with our sin, as we still are prone to wander as sheep, that one day we will be made perfect in God's presence. In Ezekiel's day, this is the beginning of the new hope and the new day for the nation of Israel. We're going to see the heart of stone replaced with the heart of flesh. We're going to see the dry bones becoming as flesh. And we're going to see Israel restored to its former glory. But I believe this passage has shown us that everything does indeed rise and fall on leadership. And I challenge us this evening, for those of you who are leaders in any capacity, in your home, in your workplace, in your social clubs, in the church, in any capacity, do you smell like your sheep? Are you close to your sheep? Do you know your sheep? Do you know the chief shepherd? Are you close to the chief shepherd tonight? Do we recognize a call to leadership in the church, in our communities, and in our countries as a call to serve? For all of us, the challenge is, do we know God as our shepherd? Do we know Jesus as the one who laid down his life for us? Are we close to the shepherd? Or do we sense ourselves wandering off? Do we know the shepherd's voice? Do we hear the shepherd's voice? And do we pray for the leaders over this? Poor shepherds will lead to poor sheep. Good shepherds will lead to good sheep. And the perfect shepherd will lead to perfect sheep. May we rejoice in the good, the chief, the perfect shepherd that God has given us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these great words from Ezekiel. Father, thank you for the great hope that you brought to the nation of Israel in exile, and the great hope that you bring to us tonight. Father, thank you that we can come to you as a good shepherd, as the one who will rescue us and who care for us and will lead us with justice. We pray that this evening that you would bind our hearts to you, and that your goodness and mercy would lead us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.